Welcome.
Freedom.
First of all, welcome. This is Unsolicited Freedom. Perspectives. I'm your host, Bruce Anthony, here to lead the conversation in important events and topics that are shaping today's society. Join the conversation and follow us wherever you get your audio podcasts. Subscribe to our YouTube channel to watch our video podcasts. Rate, review, like, comment, share. Share with your friends, share with your family, hell, even share with your enemies. On today's episode, it's the Sibling Happy Hour. I'm here with my sis, Jay Andrea. We're going to be talking about man or bear. Who should a woman trust? Then we're going to be talking about, can sperm donors pay child support? And then we're going to be ranking four actors and their acting ability. But that's enough of the intro. Let's get to the show. What up, sis?
What up, brother?
I can't call it. We got to film this show, and then I got to pack.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. You're going on a birthday trip. Your bestie's birthday.
My bestie's birthday. I'm heading to New York City. Yeah, happy. Well, I don't think she's tripping about how old she's turning. My bestie is going to be turning.
We're not releasing her name, so it's fine.
Yeah. My bestie is turning 40 years old. This is a big birthday. She's having a big blowout in New York City because I joke on her all the time about this.
Mm-hmm.
She ain't really from New York City. She is, because Staten Island is absolutely a borough.
Yes.
Home of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yes.
But Staten Island ain't no real. Staten Island ain't part of New York City's.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, technically, but.
No, not technically. What do you consider New York City?
Manhattan, Harlem. Right? Because it's same. Manhattan, Harlem, the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens.
If you consider Queens, you can consider Staten Island.
Well, I almost don't consider Queens.
You're going to have
don't.
New Yorkers down yeah, no, 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 your
but
throat.
But I do, because there's too many real people in Queens.
Mm-hmm.
And so Queens is definitely a part of New York City.
Yeah.
But Staten Island... And I want to say, well, you got to take a bridge or a ferry to even get to Staten Island. I don't even think there is. Is there a bridge to Staten Island?
No, it's the ferry, I think.
Yeah.
You know what?
I don't know.
Don't get me to lying because I don't know. I've never been to Staten.
But
I've been to every borough, but I've never been to Staten Island.
But I joked on her the last time we were hanging out. She came over to watch WrestleMania with me, night one. We had a really good time. And I noticed the last time I hung out with her, I was over at her place, that her New York accent is coming out more now than ever. And I was like, it don't make no sense for your New York accent to come out now. You've been living in D.C. for the last 15 years.
There are four bridges that connect Staten Island
to the rest
of the world.
Yeah,
including the Verrazano Bridge, which I did know about that. So,
I mean, yeah. Does it connect to Manhattan or Harlem?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But there are bridges.
I just remember Sex and the City, and Carrie was like, she had to make sure that she caught the ferry in order to get home, or else there was no way for her to get home.
So
maybe they don't got no cabs out there.
The Verrazano Bridge connects Staten Island and Brooklyn.
Okay. Brooklyn is right next to Manhattan because there's a bridge that connects Manhattan to Brooklyn.
Yeah. I mean, they're all right Brooklyn, next to each other, if we're being honest.
I mean, Brooklyn isn't right next to Queens.
I'm looking at it as a person who lives in Georgia where it takes an hour to get across town. So, for me, they're all close to each other.
Okay. I mean, and they are. It's real New York City.
Yeah.
And she's from New York. When her accent comes out, I'm like, that is very New York. Mm-hmm. So she is. I mean, she's from New York. She's going to kill me. She's going to kill me when she sees me. I heard your show. I am from New York. You always say that. And Lord knows I don't want to get another punch from her. Did I ever tell you the story about the punch?
No, and I must know.
Okay. So there used to be this bar, and I never let her live it down. There used to be this bar in Arlington, Virginia, called A-Town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on Sundays, it was a sports bar. But on Sundays, it was like a club, right?
Okay.
For the football games. I mean, they had table service and bottles and sparklers and a DJ. It was lit. And they would give you this giant bottle of champagne for like $25. Nobody ever went to A-Town and didn't walk out of there completely lit all the way up on a Sunday.
Is A-Town, is it like a play on an Atlanta bar? Because that's very much, because it's even called A-Town. So I just
And I don't know why it was called A-Town. It's closed now.
Oh.
And it started dying towards the end because people, I mean, we got too old. Like we got too old to be there. Anyway, so one night I had thrown a little party for a lot of my personal clients.
Yeah.
And it was a packed table. It was like 15, 20 people. And we were drinking and everything. And my bestie came out to support me, right?
Yeah.
Me, my bestie, one of my clients, and her fiance at the time, but now her husband, were the last four there. And the DJ was playing all the hits. And we was dancing and having a good time. Now, my bestie
from the 99 and the 2000? Or yep. what do you describe as hits? Is that what we're talking about, the same thing?
No, it was hits during that time. So it was like Hotline Bling. It was that time period. Anyway, so we're dancing. We're not really dancing with each other. We're just like dancing in space. And my bestie is an attractive person. So another female started dancing with her. And they were just dancing. And then the next thing that I know, I see this other female grab my bestie's booty. My bestie, in her drunken state, thought it was me, turned around and slugged the hell out of me. And I yelled, "That wasn't me. I would never do that. It was this woman right here." And she was like, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." She hit me with, look, Jay, I'm going to be real honest.
Did she just turn around and hit the first person that was behind
her? It was instinct. She said it was just instinct.
So she didn't know it was you specifically.
She just turned around slugging. So it was instinct. Okay. It wasn't her thinking it was me. It was just somebody grabbed her butt and she turned around and slugged them.
Yeah.
And that person that she turned around and slugged happened to be me. And I joke with her all the time. I say, I'm going to be on my deathbed and I'm going to be like, "Hey, you remember that time you punched me in the bar?" She's like, "You're never going to let me lay that down." I'm like,
no. No, but I was absolutely
like,
not.
I was like, that's how I knew you was for real, for real. Because I know some women have been grabbed and it's just like, whatever. Like, that's what people are going to do. Not her. She turned around and got a slap.
Get to swinging.
But it wasn't a slap. It was a straight up.
It was them hands.
It was them hands. And it was a solid. It was solid.
Yeah.
It was solid.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Good for her.
So I never let her live it down. But anyway, so we're going to be going out in New York City having a good time. And ladies and gentlemen, I know it's New York City. I say New York City because that's what they said in the movie Life when Martin and Eddie was arrested in the South. They said Mr. New York City because it was two of them. So I know that's not when my speech impediment comes out. Just
we know.
All right. You know what? That was a long way of wishing my bestie a happy birthday. But let's get into something. Speaking of women, let's get into something that that you brought to my attention.
Yes.
That was very interesting. So can
all
you
all over my timeline. Yes.
So can you introduce the people to what it is that you sent to me?
So sorry, it was the dog. So a TikTok, I believe it's a TikTok, has been going viral. It is essentially somebody out on the street interviewing women, and it's a compilation of these women's answers to this one question that he's asking. Mm-hmm. And the question is, would you rather be alone in the woods with a man or a bear? Mm-hmm. And if he asked 10 women, 9 of them said bear. And quickly, like not like a slow response. They didn't have to think about it. The one woman that I saw that did say a man, it was very slow to come out. Like that was a slow, she thought about it and really weighed her options. And so there's been a lot of backlash again from these incel, alpha male, red pill guys that got microphones and we wish they didn't. They are incensed. Like they are livid that so many women, because of course then women stitch this video or they duet it and they're like, yep, the bear, the bear? And honestly, if I were to answer that question, would I rather be alone in the woods with a man or a bear? The answer is the bear. And that's just the truth. The answer is the bear. And the reason why, and a lot of women have pointed this out, and some men too, is that if the bear attacks me, people will believe me. Mm. They'll believe me. They won't ask me dumb things like, what was I wearing to attract the bear? Why was I walking in the woods? You know, I mean, I would ask me why I was walking in the woods, because why was I in the woods when there's bears in the woods? But the point is...
may have been going for a hike. I know a lot of people that go for a hike.
May have been going for a hike. Don't yeah. know. But the point is, these red pillars, they are pissed because they're like, you really think that you'd be safer with a bear? And
I'm gonna have to cut you off. You're gonna have to explain to people what the red pill is. I know what it is. It's going from the Matrix, but yes. You gotta have to explain. And there's a huge thing on the internet about red pill.
Yeah.
So you're gonna have to break this down for the people, because you keep saying red pill, and there's gonna be some people that's gonna be listening to this saying, what does red pill have to do anything about it? Like,
so they're using it incorrectly. So there's the red pill and the blue pill.
Of course. They always use the things incorrectly. Of course.
So in the Matrix, what was it? There was a red pill and a blue pill, and
yeah. Neo had to Morpheus gave Neo a choice between the red pill or the blue pill.
Yes. And so the blue pill, the story ends, you wake up in your bed, you believe whatever you want to believe. That was the line from The Matrix. You take the red pill and I'll show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. So basically, to be a red pill person is to be what these guys love to call themselves, an independent thinker. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they think.
But they typically take it
too far.
Too far. Yeah.
And they think they are enlightened.
Yes.
But actually, what they're doing is exactly what the blue pill would do.
Yes.
They're going to sleep believing what they want to believe.
Correct.
Irregardless of facts. Oh no, what?
Not irregardless. It's just regardless. I didn't know you were an irregardless guy.
I am.
Oh no. It's just regardless.
No, but I mean, I like ill regardless.
But oh, all right.
It puts an extra emphasis on things.
You don't. All right.
Regardless of the fact. Okay? Thank you. If I was writing a paper, it would be regardless of the fact, not irregardless, because spell check would be like, this is not a word. But regardless of the fact that they are, I forgot my whole point now, because you wanted to call out my grammar. What was my point? I was about to kill him with it. I had something deep. You had to be like, not irregardless. I was like, you know what? That's not the point.
You were basically saying what they're actually doing is taking the blue pill and living in this illusion.
Yeah, they're living in an illusion of their own belief, because it's easier for them to believe that they're right about their small-minded thinking than the fact that life is way more nuanced than they want to give it credit for. Because this is a situation, I said it on a Tuesday episode, people love to be the hero of their own story. Mm-hmm. Being the hero of your own story means like you pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, regardless of the fact that you got help, right? That you don't want to acknowledge. It's the I want to take the last shot to win the game of life. Mm-hmm. So it is very hard for these people to have nuanced conversations where their belief system is challenged. And the person that's challenging them or giving them straight facts that they can't deny, they can't know, because then that would mean that they have to admit that they are wrong. So they don't want to do that. So they're taking the blue pill.
And part of what this is they believe that they are awake to the ultimate truth, which is that men and women are different, and therefore we should submit to our gender roles. Like, that's the ultimate truth that they think they've woken up to.
And their truth is half right, because men and women are different.
Yes. And that's fine. It's fine that men and women are different. It's when you start to place those differences in a hierarchy that it becomes a mess. So anyway, they're pissed off about this. But what's so interesting about the vitriol that is coming out of these men's mouths and some women, because do not forget that pick me's exist none of them have been picked.
Explain to people what pick me's are. You're throwing a lot of stuff out here people might not know.
Okay, so a pick me typically is, or a pick Misha is, is a woman or girl who everything she does is for the male gaze or for male validation. And at the expense of herself and other women.
Men do it too.
Men do it too. But a pick me woman.
They're just called simps.
Yeah. So a pick me woman is going to say, yeah, women should be in the house. Or I don't think women should be allowed to vote. A prime example is TikToker. Her name is Pearl.
Oh, God, I can't stand. We've talked about Pearl before.
She is terrible.
In the Manosphere episode. Ladies and gentlemen, just look up the Manosphere episode. We talk about Pearl. But go ahead.
So Pearl has fallen out of favor because she went on a talk show. I cannot remember who this. He's a conservative white man. And he pretty much
narrowing it down.
He narrows it down to nothing. I agree with like literally nothing this man says, but he challenged her on everything that.
Was it Tucker Carlson?
It wasn't Tucker. But anyway, he challenged her on everything she brought up.
It was Piers Morgan.
It was the Piers. Yes. Yep. It wasn't Piers Morgan who interviewed her. It was somebody else, but it was that show.
Okay. Yeah.
So like she wants mandatory DNA testing at the birth of your children. And he's like, well, what you're implying is that my wife is a whore and I take offense to that. Okay, well, maybe it should be voluntary. Well, they're already voluntary. You can already voluntarily do that. I don't believe in divorce, not even in cases of infidelity. Or what would you do if this happened? Or what would you do with that? And the problem with a pick me is that, and the problem with a red pillar that is that none of their arguments are based in like reality. They're delusional. So they'll never actually hold up to any kind of scrutiny. We see this all the time with the Fresh and Fit guys. They get owned by people constantly.
Who are the Fresh and Fit guys?
You know, the two dudes in Miami.
No, I don't know them.
They're two black dudes. One of them ended up getting a stripper pregnant and tried to get her to have an abortion.
It's Myron. Okay, I'm not as versed in the TikTok world as you are, and you better enjoy it.
I need you to get on social media in general. Like, you gotta.
I'm on Instagram a lot.
Are you reading the timeline? Are you reading what's happening?
It's just not, the algorithm just doesn't push that stuff to me.
Okay. Well, it.
But you better enjoy TikTok because they about to. You got one year.
Listen. And I discovered something called Rug Talk.
What is Rug Talk?
R-U-G, Rug Talk. And it is professional rug cleaners cleaning some of the most disgusting rugs you've ever seen. And it is so relaxing and satisfying to watch them clean the hell out of these rugs. And if I lose that...
It'll move to another social media platform. Don't worry.
Somebody will come up with something. It's fine.
But going back to the conversation of man or bear, you didn't send me the initial TikTok. What you sent me was a wife asking her husband, hey, if our daughter is in the woods, who would you rather have in the woods with her? A man or a bear?
And he really, really struggled to answer the question. Honestly, I can't even remember what his answer ended up being. I think it was the bear.
Like, that's incredible that's my answer is the bear. But yes, it would absolutely be the bear.
Yeah, I saw another one. It was a brother eating some Popeyes. He really didn't have time for his wife's shenanigans, but he gonna answer the question. So he's eating his chicken and she's like, you know, who would you rather your daughter be alone in the woods with a man or a bear? And with no hesitation, this man said, the bear. And she said, why? Because the bear ain't going to do something ungodly to my daughter.
Right. And so the larger point, the reason why we're bringing this up, ladies and gentlemen, the larger point is to explain to men out there, because I know a couple of men that are like this, men out there, what real life fear for a woman is like. And for some men, they're just not going to understand it unless they have a daughter. I guess that's the pressure point.
Yeah.
Right. Is if they have a daughter, because they damn sure ain't doing it if they got a sister or a mom. Right. But if they have a daughter, it's something about the father daughter connection that makes them look at women completely differently than they would look at any other type of woman. Mm-hmm. And then in that sense, then they can see the patriarchy and how it exists in the world.
Yeah.
And how women are fearful all of the time. And, you know, I don't really like, you know, he was one of my favorite comedians. He's disappointed me. And it hurts that I can't be a champion for him like I used to be. Mm-hmm. But Dave Chappelle made a joke, and it was a very, very good joke to explain how fearful women are in everyday life. He was saying he had a bag of $10,000 of cash that he had got paid for doing a comedy show. And mm-hmm. he was on a subway in New York City, and he was scared to death that he was going to get robbed or killed if anybody found out what he had in this bag. And he said that's when he realized what it was like being a woman.
Yeah.
Because he had something that if other people knew he had it, he knew would be in danger. And women have something that men know they have. Mm-hmm. And so they are in constant danger. And these so-called red pill people, the real reason why they don't want to examine that is because 9 times out of 10, they're the men that those women should be afraid of.
Yeah. The thought experiment really exposes the fact that while a lot of, you know, these quote unquote high value men or alpha men see themselves as I'm the provider and the protector, they don't ever take it a step further and ask, who are you providing? Who are you protecting me from? Mm. You're not protecting me from bears.
No, you can't do that. And they're another P word. They're sometimes men in general. If you want to be the provider, you want to be the protector, that's cool. Also acknowledge some of us are the predator.
Yeah.
That's just real. And that's not no, oh, you just being a simp. It's not dangerous out there for a woman. Okay. All right, okay. Dude. There's a reason why you don't want to go to jail.
Yeah. Because I don't remember if this was part of Dave's joke or if I just took it a step further. You can tell me. But I imagined, you know, a man with a backpack. He's got $10,000 in it. He's walking down the street. Everybody knows what he's got in the backpack. Some people are just going to look. They're going to be like, damn, it's money in that backpack. Mm-hmm. Show is nice. And mm-hmm. they'll keep going. Mm-hmm. Some people are going to say something. Hey, I know what you got in that backpack. Can I get some? Mm-hmm. Right? And then some people are just going to take it.
Yeah.
And we don't know. Women do not know which one of those you are. We don't mm-hmm. know.
Don't know.
So we have to assume.
Day.
Yes. We just have to live assuming that everybody is going to try to take our backpack.
Mm. So he didn't expand upon it. That was alluded to, right? That was alluded to.
Yeah.
But he didn't expand upon it. So you expanded upon it. Dave Chappelle, if you're out there listening, know that we still love you. We just don't agree with some of the things that you've been doing. But
I mean, I don't know that you. Joke, I don't. So I don't love you, but.
You used to.
I but appreciate that joke your was hilarious. Work.
Okay, yeah, I took it too far when I said I love you. I love your work. I love your
right,
work.
Right.
I love your work.
I appreciate your
work. I love your older work. Yeah.
But it's, you. It's, I think a lot of it, a lot of the anger and the vitriol, first of all, men always go straight to when we're talking about equality and you got these men who are, you know, these high value men, whatever, these red pillars, they always go straight to a violent scenario to prove why equality doesn't exist.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's always like, oh, well then how about can I punch you in the face then? Since we're equals? Like, it's always like, it goes to some, and it's like, you're proving the point. You're walking face first into the point and you are still missing it because your first thought was to go to something violent. I don't know that bear's first thought is going to be to attack me. I've seen a lot of videos where people have just been like, get out of here. And the bear will turn around and run away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it can go sideways, but there can be. And the same thing can be true with the man in the woods, right?
Right.
It could be, hey, we lost in the woods. We got to band together to find some way to get out of here.
Yes.
But also go the other way.
Yeah.
And that's a sad commentary on men by and large.
The implication.
If y'all don't understand that, watch It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It's a sad commentary on men by and large that anybody with sense would say bear. Because naturally you would want to say, well, no, I don't want to be in the woods with an animal that I don't know what the animal is going to do.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that man is going to do. Now, if it's me, if it's a male, I'd rather be in the woods with another male than a bear. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be honest.
I'm not a female.
Aside, you know, from like heart disease, a woman's number one predator is a man.
Yeah, well, the red pillars, quote unquote, don't want to hear that though.
No, but when you talk about, I'm here to protect my girl. Okay, from who? Other guys, sometimes your damn friends.
Well, I have an interview. I had an interview coming out on Tuesday where the conversation goes, I won't give too much away, but there's an interesting conversation about men protecting the women that they love. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting conversation and it's a different and unique perspective that I don't think a lot of people have ever thought of. I never thought about it. So when it was pitched to me, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So there is something that I'm going to release on Tuesday that's going to be really compelling, but that is not the same as what we're talking about right now. We're talking about these red pillars, quote unquote, because once again, they're blue pill people. Mm-hmm. Red pillars we're red. Well, definitely me. Sometimes you're more like a purple pill person.
Yeah, because, you know, I don't want to invite more drama into my life than I need. Do I need to know everything? No, I just don't. I'm so
curious. I want to know. Yeah. I'm like, hey, man, I'm like Marvin Gaye. I want to know what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you have any more final thoughts on this?
You know, I just think that if you just listen to what these women and men are saying about why they would choose the bear and did a little self-reflection, you might see that the person I don't want to be stuck in the woods with, sir, is you.
Speaking of those red pillars, this one is going to set them ablaze. I'm not going to throw my friend under the bus by saying he's a complete red pillar.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really a blue pillar. But he shows a lot of tendencies that one would show if they were a red pill person. Because he is the one that brought this to me.
Okay.
Now, he typically brings stuff to me and I'm like, well, that's not true.
Yeah.
And he's like, yes, it is. I saw it. And then I'll Google it. And one of the first things that pops up is me disproving what it is that he brought to me.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, he was like, hey, look, I saw something, I read it, and I did my research right now, and I confirmed it is true. I said,
I always question when non-researchers say they did their research.
And I was like, all right. I was like, hit me with it. He was like, did you know that sperm donors are out there being forced to pay child support? The first thing I did was my eyebrow went up and my forehead scrunched like the, what the hell are you talking about face?
Yeah.
And he was like, no. I know what you're about to say, but I did my research and I did my proof and it's real. And so he's telling me the story And he was like, I read in a newspaper article, blah, 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 this and that. And the story was true. Mm-hmm. However, the story was in Britain. And I was like, okay, well, I don't really know the laws over right. there for paternal rights. So this doesn't really prove your case. And you brought it to me like it's some epidemic that's going on that sperm donors out here are being forced to pay child support. I don't know why you're in a frenzy about this.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more important things to be in a frenzy with. But I did say, this is really interesting. I'm going to Google search. And then when I Google searched, one of these first things came up. So there was a couple of cases mm-hmm. where sperm donors were either taken to court for child support or had to pay child support. And when you hear the cases, it makes sense.
Okay.
All right. The first case is a North Carolina case. Anthony, it should be Garrett's, but it's Garlett's or something like that. Maybe he's French. Anthony, we just going to call him Anthony.
I think it's Grelts, but.
Grelts. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Anthony agreed to provide artificial insemination for Erica Glenn through a verbal contract. The Department of Social Services in Warren County, North Carolina, went to court to get him to pay child support. So he did end up having to pay child support, but it was later voided on appeal.
Okay.
So this was a situation where the lower courts are like, yeah, you got to pay child support because you entered in a verbal agreement to artificially inseminate Erica. But then the upper courts were like, no, this is not that. He didn't agree. Mm-hmm. He agreed to help her have a child, but he didn't agree to anything else. Mm-hmm. There was a Pennsylvania case where a man donated sperm to a friend and provided limited financial support. Later, he developed an interest in the children, and then the court ordered him to pay child support.
Okay.
So this wasn't an anonymous donor. So my friend brought it to me, like anonymous donors all over the world are going to have to start paying child support. No, this was a man that donated sperm, and he was giving her a little bit of bread. Then he grew an attachment to the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then the court was like, oh, okay. So since you want to be in the kid's life, pay some child support because you're their father. That seems reasonable to me.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems reasonable to me. What do you think?
No longer a donor at that point.
You're no longer a donor.
If you're involved in their lives, you might not take on a parent role, but you've become more than a donor at that point.
Right. There was a New Mexico case. Mind you guys, I did some research and these were only cases that I found. So once again, my friend brought it to my attention. It's not an epidemic. It's not something that he should have been in a frenzy with. He came in hysteria. He was like, have you heard? And I was like, no, I haven't heard. What's going on? And I was like, man, what's going on? What's going on? They got donors out here paying child support. And immediately I'm like, that don't sound right. No, it is. I researched it. I'm literally telling y'all that's how the conversation went. Mm-hmm. And I know he's going to listen to this. He's like, man, you really crushed me. I was like, yeah, I told him I was going to crush him.
Yeah.
I told him I was going to talk about it. I did not reveal your name. So you're still anonymous. Kind of like an anonymous donor. Anyway, there was a New Mexico case. A man donated his sperm to a lesbian couple and had regular visitation with the children. He was ordered to pay $250 a month of child support. He wasn't an anonymous donor.
Right.
And he had a relationship with the children.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense that he would have to pay some child support.
Yeah. You're not. Guys, hey, donor means you're just donating. You don't have any connection to the child. You are not involved in the rearing of that child. All you are doing is donating sperm. That's it. You don't know where it's going to go. Hell, it could sit in a freezer. Nobody could end up picking it. Like, that's the, you know, you get paid either way. So what do you care? Like, you know, so
your stats may not be appealing to women. You might be getting rejected in real life and in a sperm life.
And hey, that's tough, you know, I don't know.
That is tough.
That's tough, you know, so, but hey.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you go all the way back to the 100th episode, Our Uber driver said something and we could not remember what he said that made us start laughing.
He did say that's tough.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But we couldn't remember why he said that's tough.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
that
right.
That was, yeah. We don't know. I don't remember what it was.
Yeah.
You said something and he was like, man, that's tough.
I don't know what I said.
I don't know either.
I don't know what I said, but it's tough.
Yeah.
All right, here's the last case.
Okay.
And then I'll talk about the case that he brought to me because I didn't have it in a rundown, but I remember what he said.
Okay.
So there's a Kansas case. In this Kansas case, a man that was involved was William Marotta, not Mariota, Marotta, mm-hmm. who responded to a Craigslist ad from a lesbian couple seeking a sperm donor.
No.
It was back in the day. All right.
Okay. All right.
The insemination was conducted informally without the assistance of a licensed clinic or physician.
Mm-mm.
Despite signing an agreement waiving his parental rights, the state of Kansas later sought child support from him after the couple applied for state benefits. The court ruled that because the insemination was not performed by a licensed physician, he was legally the child's father and required to pay child support.
Mm.
Now, there is a difference between the previous cases and this Kansas case. And it gets into the legal protections of sperm donors. Many mm-hmm. states have adopted codes like the Uniform Parentage Act, the UPA, mm-hmm. which seems to specifically state that donors are not parents.
Yes.
Sperm donors who donate through a licensed clinic mm-hmm. or facility are typically not legally responsible for any resulting children and cannot be held liable for child support.
Then they are very clear on the websites. Like they are very clear when you go on these donor sites that this is a donor. This is not a parent. You cannot go back to them for support or, you know, to be in the child's life. That's not what this is.
Right.
You're getting a baby.
Mm-hmm.
They get a check. That's it.
Right. And so in that, I know what people are going to do because I said that sperm donors are donating through a licensed or clinic facility are mm-hmm. typically not legally responsible. I know people are going to jump on that typically.
Yeah.
Not the opposite. Why they would be responsible mm-hmm. is some of the cases that were presented earlier where either you didn't do it through a licensed facility or clinic. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in this instance, if you developed a personal relationship with the mother or the kids, once you're no longer anonymous, you develop a relationship, now you have a responsibility. So going back to the original story of what my man brought to me. Yes, it was based out of Britain. It was an anonymous donor, lesbian couple. They ended up splitting, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was seeking benefits. She did search out for the donor, found the donor, developed a personal relationship with them, and then later took them for child support. Now, is that shady? Yeah.
Yeah.
But guess what he did? He developed a personal relationship. Now you have ties to not only the woman and the children. Mm-hmm. Time to pay up. You can't just be in their life without being in their life. Ain't no half stepping. Big Daddy Kane said that. Ain't no half stepping.
No.
So if you're going to be in a kid's life, guess what? You might get hit for child support. Once again, there is not this big epidemic of anonymous donors that went through clinics that are being hit up to start to pay child support, which is what this person basically presented to me when he came to me with this hysteria. Like, you hear what's going on?
Yeah.
No. So once again, this is another situation where I'm throwing you under the bus because you didn't do enough research. And had you done enough research, you would know that this isn't a thing.
You got to read the article.
He did read the article, and the article said, hey, this dude ended up having to pay child support. But then you understand that the facts behind it and the difference between what he did mm-hmm. and what majority of anonymous donors do,
mm-hmm.
they stay anonymous.
Yeah. Yes.
And then if you want to be in the kid's life, guess what? You're going to have some responsibility for that kid if you want to be in the kid's life. If not, then stay anonymous.
So there are a lot of donors that are anonymous, but there are also donors who are open or open ID. And what that means is that if they're just open donors, that the child can get their contact information anytime. Mm-hmm. Open ID, the child gets their contact information when they turn 18. It's really
after you don't pay child support at 18.
Right. That's one protection. And also, you know, it waits until the child is mature enough to understand this is my donor, not my parent. Mm-hmm. Right. And as you know, I was looking into this as well. I still very much am interested in becoming a single mother by choice. And
I love how you phrase that.
Oh, that is the correct terminology.
Okay. I learn something new every day.
Yeah. Single mother by choice. There's a difference between single moms who don't want to be single moms and they were forced into that position. And I love that everybody always blames the mom and not the person who left.
That's not true. They be blaming the man that left.
Very rarely. When these guys grow up and they out here wreaking havoc on everyone, everybody talks about the mother wound that they're trying to heal. And nobody ever talks about the fact that your daddy wasn't there.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay.
And you out here being ain't shit because you, oh, sorry. And you out here.
Will you allow one S word?
One S. I forgot about that. You out here, you know, not worth a damn because you didn't have anybody in your life to provide a positive example of how a man should be. So that's neither here nor there. And that's a whole nother show. We're talking. But I am going to be very clear with my children about their conception, because a lot of children who are born via donor do have, you know, some issues around like the fact that you paid money to have me. There was a transaction.
I would think that once they get to a certain age, it was like, oh, my mom, my dad, my parents really wanted me.
Yes.
As opposed to finding out, oh, you was an accident. We didn't plan for you.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so y'all just kept me. You just kept because we ain't had no choice. Oh, okay.
Right. Like, I'm going to be very clear. Like, I wanted you so much that these are all the things that I went to in order to bring you here. That's how much you were wanted and loved. Mm-hmm. And if they want to meet their donor, I'm going to choose open or open ID donors, not so I can hit them up for child support.
But you won't get child support unless...
unless you go through, and I understand why some people do go through like Craigslist or Facebook. There's a lot of Facebook groups where you can link up with potential donors because it is expensive.
Yeah, I know.
But it's expensive.
But there's a lot to this story in Kansas that I kind of want to know, right? Yeah. The article didn't really give a whole lot of detail in. So they got this, they found this deal on Craigslist, and the insemination was conducted informally. I don't know what that means.
He delivered three cupfuls of his man stuff for free. And that's just like, what cups? Where'd you get, three cupfuls?
And what they use, I mean, was it, did he actually, you know, was he intimate with them? Did they use like a turkey baster?
I think they went the old turkey baster route because they said insemination.
But doesn't sperm die really quickly once it hits air?
No.
Okay, I don't be knowing.
In fact, it lives for like 3 days.
Oh, I mean, it lives for 3 days. You know what? This conversation is making me really uncomfortable. And very rarely, ladies and gentlemen, am I uncomfortable talking about stuff.
This is normal science.
I know, but I'm talking about a man and insemination with two lesbian couples. It's one lesbian couple with two lesbians, and I'm having this conversation with my sister, and it's throwing me all types of weird right now.
But the fact of the matter is, if you apply in your state for aid, they're mm-hmm. going to look for the other parent to get reimbursed. That is how
it works. It's an anonymous donor, though.
If the person is anonymous, then you don't know who they are either. So it's
right. Yeah,
there's nobody to go after.
Okay,
but if this is somebody that you do know who it is.
Yeah, no, right. This goes back to the rules.
Yeah.
Where if you do it through a clinic.
If you do it through a facility. It is expensive, but it provides protections for you and the donor. Everything is clearly laid out. You sign the paperwork. Everything is up and up and above board. Like there are protections for the both of you. And that's why it's important to go through a clinic. Also, you know, they can do like genetic testing and all kinds of things. Like
also like STD testing.
STD testing.
That's kind of important.
You just meeting up with somebody from Craigslist?
I think it was when Craigslist was a thing. Not Craigslist now. I don't know if Craigslist is a thing anymore.
I think it might be a thing.
I think Craigslist has been replaced by like Facebook Marketplace.
Yeah, because a lot of people sell and buy stuff on Facebook Marketplace.
But like, I don't think people still out here in these streets just using Craigslist. I got my first apartment through Craigslist, but this was 2005.
Every time I move, I sell a bunch of stuff on Craigslist. Well, the last time I moved, but that was, you know, 7 years ago. So
yeah, and I don't think nobody's using Craigslist anymore. So what's your final analysis on my friend and his hysteria bringing this to my attention?
My final analysis is calm down.
He was incredulous. He said, "Did you hear?" I'm like, "No, man, I didn't even hear."
If you look at all these cases, very few of them, it looks like most of them, the state brought the case against the man because
the man got involved.
The man either got involved or the parents went to get some sort of, you know, state aid.
It wasn't anonymous. The donor wasn't anonymous.
The donor was not anonymous. They are known. Some of them they had wanted to or did have relationships with the children. These are special cases. And guess what? There's like four of them. So relax.
I did my research. I found four. Four.
Like, let's everybody calm down.
In the history of sperm donors, which let's just say it goes back to the 70s, right?
And
let's
one of them got thrown out. The North Carolina case got voided by the appeals court. Right. So
let's just say artificial inseminated started in 1970. I know it started before then, but let's just say it started in 1970.
Okay.
Over a 54-year period, I've got four cases.
Right.
And how many artificial inseminations?
There's been, if not tens of thousands, at least there's been hundreds of thousands. Like there's definitely been many children.
A year. I would say a year. So four. And this, you know, it goes back to our first segment. I'm not calling my friend a red pillar, but a lot of the conversations that he brings to my attention sometimes be on them red pill type stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, this is an example of people not really thinking through subjects.
Yeah.
So, ladies and gentlemen out there, please, please have better critical thinking. Just take a step back and think. And observe the other side and truly absorb it. And if you absorb the other side and you still ain't rocking with it, okay.
Okay.
At least you took it in.
Right.
But we have to, ladies and gentlemen, do better in our critical thinking. Because some of y'all out here, and I'm not calling my friend this, I'm saying some people out here in the world, majority of people out here in the world, not some, majority, are dumb as hell and can't think. I'm sick of it.
I think your friend is on the right.
I'm not talking about my friend. I'm talking about people by and large.
I'm bringing it back around to your friend. I think your friend is on the right page or on the right track because they're bringing it to you who will go back and look deeper at it.
Oh, I never thought of it like that.
As opposed to just putting it out there in this echo chamber of people who agree with him.
I don't know that he did not do that.
but still bringing it to somebody who might not agree. Now, the intention will probably be to take you down a peg. Like, yes. But you thought I was crazy, but look what they're doing out here.
The intention absolutely was to try and say, I got you, Bruce. I got you. Because they said, hey, look, I did the research on this one.
Yeah.
And how I know that they came in when we were hanging out with the intention to take me down a peg is because they brought up something else and it had to do about wrestling. And I'm like, don't try and debate me on wrestling. And he said, did you hear the story about the Big Show and the incident in Japan? I was like, what are you talking about? It was like, yeah, no, he had a problem with, like, they had to do a special bathroom. I was like, that wasn't him. That was Andre the Giant. No. It was him. I was like, wasn't him. It was Andre the Giant. And Andre the Giant has a million and one stories over there. It didn't happen to the Big Show. No, it happened to the Big Show. He said it. And I was like, oh, I wish you had told me that from the jump. He's lying. He told a story that happened to Andre the Giant and he applied it to him. This is something that wrestlers do. It's called working. Yeah. There's a shoot when they're being real and there's a work when they're doing the character. And he took a story from Andre the Giant and made it a Big Show. Well, I mean, all I could do is take him for his word for it. I was like, I get it. But if you had told me that from the jump, I would have told you that he stole the story from Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And then before I told him that he stole the story, he sent me the video of the Big Show telling the story. And I was standing right next to him. I was like, oh, you trying to be on one today? I was like, okay, I got you. I was like, take your one. I would have done the same thing. I was like, you doing me. I was like, you hanging out with me too much because you're doing something that I would do.
Yeah.
You're being an asshole, just like I would be. Speaking of assholes, I don't know how I transitioned from assholes to
what something is. I know what the next segment is, so I'm interested in how you're going to bring this around.
Some of these actors have played assholes.
Okay. That's all right.
That was a reach, but we're going to make this segment shorter because this is running long, but I thought this was interesting. I saw a meme on Instagram because that's the social media platform that I use the majority of the time is Instagram, not TikTok. But it was, the meme said, rank these actors 1 through 4, however you define good acting. Mm-hmm. And the actors were, these are not the rankings. These are just a list of the actors and then we'll rank them. Denzel Washington, Sam Jackson, but we know him as Samuel L. Jackson, Jeffrey Wright, and Forrest Whitaker. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was really interesting because these are 4 extremely talented Black actors.
Yes.
And we want to rank them 1 through 4, 1 being the best, 4 being the 4th best, because not the worst.
They're all amazing, award-winning
actors.
Fantastic actors who've had, I think Jeffrey Wright has probably had the shortest career, but still a prolific career.
You know who my number one is going to be, but you're going to be surprised of the order of my list. But I want to hear your...
I want to know. Get to tell me.
Okay. Here's the order of my list.
Okay.
Going from 4, the 4th best, to the best.
Okay.
Number 4, Forrest Whitaker.
Okay.
Number 3, Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Number 2, Jeffrey Wright. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, number 1, Denzel Washington. He's my favorite actor. I think he's the best actor that's ever acted. I know people want to talk about like Marlon Brando and Sidney Poitier. No, it's Denzel Washington.
Okay. I think we both put Forrest in the number 4 spot, which is not to say anything.
He's the 4th best. He's the 4th best. That's all that is. Like, Forrest Whitaker is a fantastic actor.
Yeah, and he has given us a lot of amazing work. I mean, the first time I remember seeing him was the Crying Game. honestly.
I don't remember seeing him in The Crying Game.
Yeah, he was in there. It was a small role. You know, Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai.
I've never seen Ghost Dog. I'm going to be real honest with you.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
What was the movie with Layla Rashan? That's the first time I ever saw him.
The movie with Layla Rashan. About?
He was like some up and coming. It's one of his earliest movies. It was like in the early 90s, late 80s or early 90s. Anyway, it's not important. My favorite thing that he's done might be this TV show Godfather in Harlem where he plays Bumpy Johnson.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite because these are the two actors that are going head to head in the majority of the episodes. Forrest Whitaker, fantastic actor. Vincent D'Onofrio, fantastic actor. I mean, if those are your two headliners, good God.
Yeah.
So he's done a lot of, he was really good on Empire.
When he was Idi Amin and The Last King of Scotland.
I never saw The Last King of Scotland.
Oh, he
might be fourth on my list because it's a lot of things of his that I haven't seen.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen a lot of him. I've seen a lot. Like, he's in a lot of movies that I've seen. He's not the most prominent person in the films. If we talk about him in The Great Debaters, well, you're going to talk about Denzel Washington.
Yeah, you're going to talk about Denzel. Debaters. Yeah.
So,
who's your number three?
My number three, Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay. All right.
Samuel Jackson. And not because Samuel is not an amazing actor. He is, again, this is another person. First of all, if you look at his filmography, it is over 200 films.
This is ridiculous. He's done the most films of any actor, hasn't he? Or any mainstream actor.
I don't know. Mainstream. You know what? That's a good question. I don't know.
I think he's done that. Or his movies has grossed. His movies has grossed more than any other actor, which he might be losing that title soon because The Rock.
The Rock. Dwayne, because Samuel Jackson be in a lot of them movies with The Rock.
they was in one movie together and they had one quick scene.
My point is Samuel Jackson will pop up in a movie. He'll be in a Quentin Tarantino movie. You'll never even see his face.
He was in a Quentin Tarantino movie and you didn't see his face?
It was Kill Bill. He was just a piano player, I think, at Beatrix Kiddo's wedding. He was just playing it. And you didn't really see his face. It was in shadow. You heard his voice. Mm-hmm. But, like, he'll just be in stuff. Like
Mace Windu.
I mean, a lot of the movies on his filmography, I have seen several times.
You know what? I think my favorite Samuel L. Jackson movie is
what's that?
Fresh.
Mine is going to be Die Hard with a Vengeance. I'm gonna be honest
No, come on, man. Not Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction.
No, okay. It's going to be Die Hard with a Vengeance. I freaking love him as Zeus in Die Hard with a Vengeance. I think.
Okay.
I think his chemistry with the amazing Bruce Willis.
Okay, Bruce Willis, okay.
Yeah, it's Die Hard, it's Bruce Willis.
Oh, you're talking about Die Hard, because Bruce Willis was also in, he was Julius in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be, I also like Snakes on a Plane. I'm going to be honest, I enjoy it.
I like Black Snake Moan.
That was a good movie. It was a good movie. Did it make any sense? No. But
no, it made no sense. Why you got this chain around my waist?
Right. him in literally all the Marvel movies is Nick Fury.
Yeah, fantastic.
He's got a stellar career. It's not going anywhere. He's still going to be around. He's out of four amazing actors. He's number three. He's the best.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. Denzel Washington.
Oh my God. No, you got to repeat that. I knew you was going to go there. I wish you was here so I could smack you. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't be hitting women, but I'll smack it for this. You just said, who is your number two?
Denzel Washington.
The man that played Malcolm X.
Yes.
The man that played, what was his character's name in Mo' Better Blues?
Literally the man that just played. Like, he was, he's, but you got to understand, again.
We just talked about The Equalizer last week.
Yes, I finally watched all three of the Equalizer movies. They were fantastic. Yeah,
we talked about that last week, and you're going to put him at number two?
He was Bleak in Mo'
Bleak,
Better Blues.
That's right, Bleak. Yeah, Bleak.
You got Mo' Better Blues. You got Malcolm X. Oh, you know, probably one of my favorite films with him is Much Ado About Nothing. He played Don Pedro. If you get a chance to watch it, please do. He's finer than fine.
Oh, okay.
You got Crimson Tide, Devil in a Blue Dress, Preacher's Wife, Fallen. He got game. Like, it's so many. And
Man on Fire.
The Inside Man.
That's a great movie. Like, come
American
on.
American Gangster.
We not even talk about the movie that he actually got an Oscar for, even though I don't think that's his best acting performance. His best acting performance was Malcolm X.
Yeah.
But yeah, Training Day,
it was an amazing performance. Like, let's be clear.
Okay.
It really was.
It wasn't an amazing performance because people don't know Denzel Washington is not Pelican Brief. He's more Training Day than he is Pelican Brief, but also Pelican Brief.
Also Pelican Brief. Yes. Everyone I ever told about the brief is dead. Yeah, I know. Pelican Brief.
Didn't he do a movie where he was in a wheelchair the whole movie and Queen Latifah was taking care of him? Yeah, with John Voight's daughter. Yeah, John Voight. He was with Angelina Jolie and he was in a wheelchair the whole time. He was an investigator. He was a crime investigator. And they were trying to catch this.
Isn't that something bones? Something it's bone bones. Collector.
Bone collector. Come on
the bone
now.
Bone collector.
And you
yes.
got number two. Okay, so that means you got number one, drum roll.
Jeffrey Wright.
Jeffrey Wright. And okay. He was my number two.
Here's why it's Jeffrey Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
Because everything that I've seen him in, I am moved. I'm moved.
Okay.
And I am emotionally invested in his performance. Like, he draws you in. The first time I ever saw him was when he played Jean-Michel Basquiat in Basquiat. But one of the, like, to me, his like breakout performance was his Peoples Hernandez in Shaft.
Look, when I walked in, I went into the movie theater with that harlot girl that I dated, that Jezebel.
Yeah.
When she was my girlfriend at the time. We went to go see Shaft, where he played Peoples Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next month, I was Dominican. Yeah. I was Peoples Hernandez.
Yes.
You got a boat? What kind of boat you got? Mind you, there are some stars in that movie, because that's another Samuel L. Jackson movie. Christian Bale.
Yes.
In that movie, this is before the movie where he was a serial killer.
Is it? Is it before American Psycho?
I think it's before American Psycho, because I believe that was 2000. I think American Psycho was after 2000.
American Psycho was 2000. Shaft was 2000. So it was the same year. So
that was a hell of a year for Christian Bale. Congratulations to you.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey Wright, I mean, did you see him in the Batman movie as he plays James Gordon?
Yes.
Jeffrey Wright is phenomenal. He was phenomenal as Narcisse in Boardwalk Empire.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why he was number two. But to me, he doesn't have an iconic role. This is just my personal opinion. Doesn't have an iconic role as Malcolm X, because Denzel Washington played a real character. A real person.
Yeah.
A charismatic, important real person.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're watching that movie, you completely forget that it's Denzel Washington and you fully invest in the fact that that is Malcolm X.
I mean, he has played real people. Jean-Michel Basquiat is a real person.
I didn't see that movie.
He was in Ali.
Well, Will Smith stole the show for Ali. I mean,
he was also in Manchurian Candidate, but you know, again, that's a Denzel Washington film, so you know, I get it. But
there isn't any movie that he did with Denzel where he outshone Denzel.
But but the difference is,
you feel something every time you watch.
Feel something when I watch Jeffrey Wright.
Okay, All right.
His work moves me. And so I really enjoy it. His latest movie, American Fiction, so good. If you get a chance to sit down and watch it, please do. So good.
Well, he's going to get his own HBO. What is it? Is it still HBO Max or is it just Max now? Whatever.
It's Max, yeah.
It's Max. I don't know if the new DC is going to do it, but I think so. Yes, no. I think he's still getting it. He was getting his own show, Gordon, because he plays James Gordon in the new Batman.
Whoa.
So, and he was phenomenal in that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Jeffrey Wright fan. Okay.
Not Ladies to mention him in Westworld.
I didn't see. There's a lot of those movies I didn't see. So,
well, Westworld is a TV series.
Okay. Well, I definitely didn't see that.
Yeah.
That just seems like that wouldn't appeal to me. But okay, ladies and gentlemen, y'all tap in. Y'all let us know. Rank your list, you know? And nobody is wrong. I think my sister is wrong, but nobody is wrong.
No, I think it's a personal opinion.
No. I can't argue with that. Jeffrey Wright is a person that when he acts, you are moved by his performance. So
yeah,
if you don't know who Jeffrey Wright is, go check him out.
There are times when I watch Denzel and definitely when I watch Samuel and I know I'm watching Denzel and I know I'm watching Samuel Jackson.
Yeah, that's because they've been in so much.
I have yet to see a Jeffrey Wright performance where I'm like, I know I'm watching Jeffrey Wright.
Because we don't know who Jeffrey Wright is.
But he embodies his characters so well, and they are so different. He is an amazing character actor, but he's also an amazing just actor. Like I really enjoy his work. And so if I had to rank them, it's going to be Jeffrey, Denzel, Samuel, and Forrest.
All right. Well, that's your ranking. I got my ranking. Ladies and gentlemen, y'all let us know. But Jay, what do you want to tell the people out there?
Can you answer, who would you rather be in the woods with, a bear or a woman? And if you could say woman really quickly.
Yeah, I was going to say woman.
Yeah.
I was going to say woman. Yeah.
But it takes you a minute to say man versus bear. You need to think about why that is.
That's real. That's realer than real deal Holyfield. And all that, we're not going to say the rest.
All you ladies and gentlemen know how I feel.
And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. And until next time, as always, I'll holla.
Whew, that was a hell of a show. Thank you for rocking with us here on Unsolicited Perspectives with Bruce Anthony. Now, before you go, don't forget to follow, subscribe, like, comment, and share our podcast wherever you're listening or watching it to it. Pass it along to your friends. If you enjoy it, that means the people that you rock with will enjoy it also. So share the wealth, share the knowledge, share the noise. And for all those people that say, well, I don't have a YouTube. If you have a Gmail account, you have a YouTube. Subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can actually watch our video podcast. But the real party is on our Patreon page, After Hours Uncensored and Talking Straight-ish. After Hours Uncensored is another show with my sister. And once again, the key word there is uncensored. Those are exclusively on our Patreon page. Jump onto our website at unsolicitedperspective.com for all things us. That's where you can get all of our audio, video, our blogs, and even buy our merch. And if you're really feeling genuine and want to help us out, you can donate on our donations page. Donations go strictly to improving our software and hardware so we can keep giving you guys good content that you can clearly listen to and that you can clearly see. So any donation would be appreciated. Most importantly, I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and watching and supporting us. And I'll catch you next time. Audi 5000. Peace.